forbid the strokes don't have limits. I mean, they may have done them years ago, and I don't know, did they? I don't remember who would have done that, but nobody that I can remember. I don't, that I can think of. I don't know what that was. But part of the impetus for this is I have to prove in October that I am a preacher in the state of Virginia. And one of the things in order to perform Randall and Lily's wedding ceremony, and one of the things that's an acceptable proof, church program, of course, there's the sermon audio site. I'll have to have a letter from the men of the church that I'm in good standing with the church, and then I'll have to produce the certificate of my ordination when Brother Conrad and Brother Barney and Brother John did that years ago. So anyway, I thought, well, if I got to do it, if I have time, you know, usually I'm back there pecking away at that keyboard until I have to get up. And sometimes I'm back there longer than I ought to be. You're already sitting out here, you know, but I'm trying to finish. And so to add an extra layer or element to what I do, it provides another challenge, you know, for me. But I'm not one when I prepare my sermons to actually produce a like a collegiate type of an outline. You know, here's number one and A, and then point, and then, you know, go on down the line. I just put in there some key thoughts, you know, from the passage, and those key thoughts have come from the verses that we'll be reading. The message title is there on the front. Thine eyes have seen. One of the things that jumped out at me throughout this week more than anything else is what's inside at the top of the right-hand page. God has only begun to show you His goodness. Isn't that a wonderful thought? I mean, 80 years old or 20 years old. You know, God has only begun to show you, you know, His goodness. Even Moses, 120 years old, God has only begun to show him His goodness. And what is it? But Moses, at this point, is about to die. How can you say God's only begun to show? Because even after we die, God's only begun to show us His goodness. I mean, you think about being translated from here to there, God's only begun to show you His goodness. And 10,000 years pass in heaven, guess what? God's only begun to show you His goodness. Isn't that a remarkable thought? God has begun to show us His goodness. What a mercy, you know, that is to think about that you know, God's goodness, His greatness. How immense is it? How unfathomable is it? You think about Paul saying that I may know Him. We've only begun to know Him. That I may know the love of Christ. That what? What's the rest of that? That passes knowledge. I mean, the height of it, the width of it, the depth of it. You know, we've only begun to know these things. We've only begun to see the goodness of God. Well, we're in Deuteronomy chapter number 3. If you would stand with me as we read, we'll read verses 12 through 29, that is verse 12 through the end of the chapter. You may be a little surprised. I guess we've only had about two messages out of each chapter, which is, I know, not my usual. Usually you probably would have expected us to still be in chapter 1 on message number 7. That's on page number 149 in the Pew Bible, Deuteronomy chapter number 3. Verse number 12. Deuteronomy 3, verse 12. And this land, which we possessed at that time from
Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I unto the Reubenites and to the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead, and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half tribe of Manasseh. And all the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which is called the land of giants, he had given unto Manasseh. Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob, under the coast of Geshurai and Maacathi, and called them after his own name, Bashan Havoth Jair, unto this day. And I gave Gilead unto Machir, and unto the Reubenites, and unto the Gadites, I gave from Gilead even unto the river Arnon half the valley, and the border even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon. The plain also, and Jordan, and the coast thereof, from Chinnereth even unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, under Ashdoth Pisgah eastward. And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. Ye shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war, but your wives and your little ones and your cattle, for I know that you have much cattle, shall abide in your cities, which I have given you, until the Lord hath given rest unto your brethren as well as unto you, until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given unto them beyond the Jordan, and then shall you return every man unto his possession which I have given you. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. You shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun, this is where that came from that I mentioned to you a while ago, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Speak no more unto me of this matter. You ever heard the Lord say that to you? Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up to the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua, and encourage him, and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So we abode in the valley over against Beth Peor. So there's the reason for the picture there on the front. That is a representation of Moses there on the top of Mount Pisgah, wanting to go into that place that Joshua and the children of Israel will pass over into, but he's not going to be allowed. And God said, let it suffice thee to see north, south, east, and west of all that he would give unto them. So let's go unto the Lord in prayer once again. Father, we bow in your presence, give thanks unto your name for your word that is set before us this morning. We want to be able to feed upon it. We want it to be able to be nourished by it, Father. We want to drink it in. We want, Father, to meditate upon it. We want to chew upon it until, Father, it yields forth that which is sweet unto our soul and sweet unto our spirit, and that would greatly encourage us and bring us, Father, farther along in our walk, that we might, Father, not be afraid, even as the text says, that we might go forth even into a land of giants and fight and do all that we do unto the glory of your name. Father, all the way until the end, until all of our brethren, Father, inherit the promise that has been made unto us. And we find ourselves one day, Father, in your presence, in that land that truly will be flowing with milk and honey, in that land which will be in your presence forevermore. Father, when there will be no more sin, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more death. And the Lord Jesus himself will be the light that shines forevermore. And we will be around the throne continually singing praise and glory and honor unto the name of him who saved us and called us unto himself for your glory and for your honor. We pray in his name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we have in these initial verses that we read in verses 12 through 17, the land that had been conquered thus far on this side of Jordan that was given unto the Reubenites and unto the half-tribe of Manasseh. They were comfortable, you know, there. They were content to stay there. We'll inherit this land and we'll inhabit this place, and this is good enough for us. But Moses told them, those of you who are able to fight, you're going to go over the Jordan, and you're going to fight with your brethren, and you're going to help them obtain their inheritance. They helped you obtain your inheritance. You're going to help them obtain their inheritance. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how that's, you know, really no different, you know, for us. I think about how that here we are, and we're continuing on. You know, we've inherited. And when I'm talking about inherited, we received the earnest of our inheritance. If you're a Christian, you've received the earnest of your inheritance. But guess what? You're going to have to continue on here for the appointed time with others. You know, it's almost like Paul. You remember when he said it'd be better for me to depart and go and be with the Lord. He said, but it's far better for you that I remain. You know, so here Paul had gained his inheritance, so to speak. You know, we could say maybe like the Reubenites and the half tribe of Manasseh, and you know, he had gained his inheritance, but he needed to fight alongside of his brethren until they gained theirs. You know, there was much people that Paul would preach unto in many cities, and there were many things that he would suffer on the account of the gospel, so that the gospel would go forth. You know, there he is in stocks, you know, in prison. He and Silas, they're singing praises at midnight, and the Philippian jailer and his family, you know, are converted, and you know, other things that we could you know, recount. But you know, there is a sense in which, yes, we've obtained, you know, I mean, I'm not saying we've arrived at all knowledge and we understand all things, you know. But we've obtained the earnest of our inheritance, but we're still having to fight alongside. There's others who haven't even come into the faith, you know, yet, but there's others who need to be encouraged. You stronger brethren, Scripture's plain about this, you're to support the weaker. You know, you're to be a help unto the weaker. We're to love one another. You know, we're all having to still fight, you know, this fight of faith. And so I see these passing over Jordan and fighting with their brethren so that they might inherit. You know, I kind of see a similar thing there, but we have these things that have been promised unto them, and they're inheriting, you know, this land that was promised unto them. And I think about how I told you that I would equate that with promises that have been made unto us in Scripture. And I don't know if you remember, I think I mentioned this to you not too long ago, but we read through somewhat and studied through somewhat that the book that Samuel Clarke had put together called Precious Bible Promises. And if you want to go back and read any of those, they're even set up, and he set them up in different categories. You know, promises that were found in Scripture. I don't know that he mined every promise out of Scripture, but he mined a bunch of them out of there. But if you go to the Sermon Audio site, and there's a section there that has links to other websites, and there's a link there to that book that I'm talking about, but the Precious Bible Promises. But those are promises that he, you know, mined out of Scripture, put into that little book there, and those are things for you. Those are things for you to inherit. Those are things for you to possess. Those promises that have been made unto you in Scripture. So we kind of see that there in those verses, in verses 12 through 17, that land that was already assigned unto them, but there was land that the others had not yet inherited themselves, and they were going to have to go over and fight, as verse number 20 says. Read that there with me. Deuteronomy 3:20, they were going to fight alongside their brethren until the Lord has given or have given rest unto your brethren as well as unto you, until they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond the Jordan. And then you shall return every man unto his possession, which I have given you. So you think, how long? How long, Lord? You know, Lord could return today. But how long, Lord? How long until we inherit, you know, heaven, you know, itself? How long until we enjoy the pleasures of that good land, you know, ourselves, which the Lord has gone before us to prepare a place, you know, for us? Well, until all your brethren have inherited. You know, God has a people, and He has sheep, and they haven't all been brought into the fold, you know, yet. And we're going to continue as long as the Lord would have us continue here. And if we're alive and remain, when the Lord returns, we commonly say this, you know, when the last person's saved. I don't know if it'll immediately happen, you know, when the last person's saved. But when that last person's saved, I mean, what else remains? I mean, maybe they're going to have to go through some struggles. Maybe they're going to have to go through some things before the Lord returns. But there will be, if they ever think about that, there'll be a last person. There's a last one. There'll be that last sheep that's brought into the fold, you know, at some point. So when, Lord, until all of our brethren have obtained the earnest of their inheritance? Again, it's the same sort of concept that we see with Paul when he said that to go and be with the Lord would be far better, but for them, for him to remain was more profitable. So the Lord has a work for us to do. That's why you're still here. Now, why are you still here, Brother Wiseman? The Lord still has a work for you to do. And some of that work that we do, we may not even realize that we're doing it. I'm sure there's lots of things that we've done that we don't realize that we've done. Just the lives that we've lived, the decisions that we've made after righteousness, the decisions that we've made after doing what is right in the sight of God, what kind of a ripple effect has that had, that pebble that's been thrown, you know, into the water? What type of ripple effect has that had in other people's lives, in their own children? I mean, they're watching us all the time. I know all of you don't have little kids at home anymore, you know, but I do, and they're watching everything that I do. Every decision that I make, you know, everything that I say, you know, they're watching all these things. I had no idea that Anna was paying attention to how many people are listening on sermon audio. You know, they notice things that you don't realize. They're listening and watching and observing all the time. So we may not know until we reach heaven the effect of some of these things. But we continue to fight. We continue to press on. We continue to move forward and ahead, and we seek to continue to glorify the Lord in all that we do. Hebrews 11 talks something about this. One of the things that I sought to do here, and I think they're probably in order, but one of the first passages that you see, I've sat out there before and somebody's given a text and I've, what did he say? You know, where's he at? You know, I heard the book, but I missed the chapter, or I missed the verse. Well, you know, Hebrews 11, verse 39 is one of the first passages there that appear, but it's the same sort of thing here. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having, not they're not going to receive the promise, but they received not the promise at that time. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So, you know, it carries the thought a little further. There are those of our brethren who, you know what? They're in heaven right now. They're beholding the face of the Lord right now. But what did they not have? Anybody? What kind of state are they in? What did they not have that we don't have yet either? A glorified body. You know, they don't have received, you know, that glorified body yet. But guess what? When we receive, they'll receive. You know, we're all going to receive, you know, together. But so they're still waiting for the fullness of their inheritance, just like we're waiting on the fullness of our inheritance. Just like these having received, you know, this land on this side of Jordan, are going over with their brethren so they could fight, so they might receive, you know, their inheritance as well. And then verse number 21 was the next thing that caught my attention, or the Lord grabbed my attention with. God says, I commanded Joshua at that, or Moses rather, commanded Joshua at that time, saying, thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. You know, the torch, or the baton, so to speak, is being passed on, you know, from Moses to Joshua. And he tells Joshua here, your eyes have seen all that the Lord has done unto these two kings. And Moses' job at this point is to, and if I'm ever in this position, I hope that I'm able to accomplish this, but let's just say that one day I'm Brother Wiseman's age and I've gotten to the point that the baton needs to be passed over to a younger fella. You know, whether I'm still here at this place or you know, we're somewhere else, I don't know. But I've listened this week, somebody was talking about the average pastorate for a lot of these younger guys that are coming out of seminary now are 3 to 4 years. You know, I think I've stood and preached. I don't know if I stood here and preached as pastor all this time, but I think I've stood here and preached for probably about 20 years or so. You know, so I'm well beyond, you know, that 3 to 4 years. But one day, you know, I may be older and my mind may not be what it used to be. I mean, I know Brother Woodruff, I don't want to talk about him all the time, but we talk every day, you know. And he tells me, he said, I used to have this vast storehouse of scripture that was just at my beck and call. You know, I could think about this verse or that verse, you know, and I could quote it. And he said, a lot of that's gone now. And he told me this week, he said, brother, if I repeat a verse of scripture over and over to you again, he said, forgive me. He said, you know, my mind's not, you know, what it used to be. And I'm like, if you repeat a verse of scripture over and over to me, brother, it's because the Lord put it on your heart and I needed to hear it. Even if I hear it 15 or 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 times, I must need to hear that because the Lord's put you in my path and this is coming my way. So I must, maybe I haven't gotten something in this verse that I needed to draw out of it, you know, still. But one day I may reach that place, you know, and I need to pass, you know, the torch on to. And I hope I can be what Moses is being called to be, you know, here. He was called to be an encouragement to Joshua. Joshua is going to have to take over the responsibility that Moses has had all this time. And he's going to have to take the people of Israel over the Jordan. And he's going to have to go over and fight, you know, with all those different peoples and armies to obtain the inheritance that the Lord had there, you know, for them. So he's saying, you've seen your eyes. I'm not just telling you something. I mean, you could take Joshua all the way back, you know, to Egypt. Your eyes have seen. And you, just most recently, he mentions these two kings, Sihon and Og. And he says, just like the Lord's been with us all this time. He says, so also, there in verse number 21, so shall the Lord do, just like he did to these two kings, so shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms whither thou passest. So where the sole of your foot touches and the peoples that you come into contact with and the place that God has given to you, the Lord's going to be with you just like he's been with us in the defeat of these two kings, Sihon, you know, and Og. And he goes on in verse number 22 and he says, you shall not fear them. I mean, can you hear the Lord saying anything to you, you know, in these verses? You shall not fear them. For the Lord your God, He shall fight for you. He shall fight for you. Now, does that mean that Joshua wasn't out there with a sword in his hand and a shield in his hand? And he wasn't having to stand his ground and he wasn't having to face the enemy and he wasn't having to physically fight? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it means is God was given the victory. You know? It wasn't Joshua's arm that was winning him the victory. It was the arm of the Lord that was winning them the victory. It's just like Paul saying, you know, I've planted and Apollos has watered, but what's the rest of that? God giveth the increase. God gives the increase. I can sow seed of the gospel, I can water it, but I can't make it grow. You know, no more than Brother Wiseman, you or I can go out there and plant a tomato seed, you know, and we can make it grow. We can plant it, we can water it, but we can't make it grow. The girls planted a bunch of flower seeds in some pots there at the house, and, you know, that I don't know how old the seeds were. They found them, and they were just itching to plant something. So I was out there doing some other stuff. I said, okay. So I pulled some weeds out of some flower pots that we had around the house, and I said, okay, here you go. Just put these seeds in there. I can't make them grow, though. I said, I don't know if they'll come up. You know, that's something God's got to do. I mean, you realize that, don't you? I mean, that's life. God grants life. I mean, people don't think about that. You know, they may think about it in the sense of, and we talked about this last night. You know, I told the girl, I said, when I was in my mother's womb, now that's been over 47 years ago. You know, when I was in my mother's womb, God formed me there. God gave me life there. And it's no different with that little seed over there and that flower pot that's about that tall right now. You know, it's about yay big. And it's growing. At least I think it's a flower. It could be some weeds coming up. I'm not sure until it actually produces something and we can see it, you know. But God grants life. That little seed, God had to give life unto that thing or it wouldn't grow. It wouldn't come up. So, I have planted, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Verse 7 goes on to say, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth anything. But God's the thing. God's the anything there. I'm not anything. You're not anything necessarily, but God is. God is. But God that giveth the increase. And so with Joshua, the same way. There had to be the planting. There had to be the watering. And Joshua's out there, and he's got his sword, and he's got his shield, and he's facing the enemy. But God's the one that gives the victory. God's the one that gives the victory. So, you got some sin in your life that you're struggling against? Guess what? You've got to fight. But who's going to give the victory? God. God's going to give the victory. You got somebody that you're praying for, they might be saved. I've got three more kids in my household that I'm seeking the Lord over. You know, and I pray for them every day. And guess what? I can talk to them. And I'm sure there's sometimes that my kids get tired. Sometimes one of them gets stuck in the car with me. You know, and it's on. Because it's just the two of us. And there's going to be conversation. It's going to be about the Lord. You know, I'm going to try to turn everything that we're talking about back to Him and turn their thoughts to the Lord. And I've asked them before, the older ones anyway, I said, y'all get tired of this? Y'all get tired of this? And so far, I don't know what they're being honest with. They say, no, we don't. You know, but I'm going to try to turn their thoughts and their affections, trying to turn their hearts, you know, to the Lord. It's one-on-one time between the two of us. It's an opportunity that I don't know how many of them I'll have. I may never have another one. I may have had all the ones I'm ever going to have. But while I have them, I want to be like Moses to Joshua. I want to try to be an encouragement. I want to try to point them. The world's pointing them in all sorts of directions. But I want to point them in the one way that they need to go. But I can't save them. God's got to do it. You know, you got neighbors? Guess what? You can sow the seed. You can water. But God's got to give the increase. God's going to have to do it. And by the same token, they can't save themselves. Who's got to save them? I tell them, you've got to call upon the name of the Lord that you might be saved. God's got to save you. It's the same sort of thing those little ones were asking me last night. How will I know when I'm saved? And I go back to them and start trying to put, the cookies on the bottom shelf. Start trying to explain to them, these things are going to be evident in your life. These changes will have taken place. Because they ask me this question, what does it mean to have a new heart? You know, those are some big questions. You know, there'd be for a 10-year-old mind or an 8-year-old mind to be asking. So, Moses says to Joshua, your eyes have seen. What have your eyes seen? Think about that. What have their eyes, you know, what have their eyes seen? Isaiah 43 and verse number 1, turn over there. Now, here's some of the things that their eyes you know, Saul. Isaiah 43, verse number 1. I think that's the next. Yep, it's in there. Isaiah 43, verse number 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee. What have your eyes seen? I have existence. I understand that my life itself came from Him. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. You are my purchased possession. You belong unto me. You don't need to be afraid. You think God takes care of what belongs to Him? You know, I've got things at my house that belong to me, and I try to take care of them. You know, I've got a vehicle out there in front of the church. I try to change the oil in it, try to take care of it, try to grease the things that need to be, you know, greased, and change the filters and things that need to be changed, and do the things that need to be done. God takes care of what belongs unto Him. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. You belong unto me. You're my purchased possession. When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with you. I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The smell of smoke wasn't even upon their garments. For I am the Lord thy God. Who can do such a thing? Who could cause a person to walk through the fire, not be consumed by it, and then come out of it and not even smell like smoke? For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him. God has created you. For His glory. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. This is the sort of thing that Moses is calling to Joshua's mind. I mean, it's God's going to fight for you. The God that's done these things. You think about the 10 plagues in Egypt. You remember any of them? You name any of them? Name some of the frogs, locusts, death of the firstborn. Anything else? Water into blood? Anything else? Think of any more? Darkness. 3 days. So much so that they could not even see one another. I've been some of those places. You know, those caves, they take you in the tour, and they turn the lights off, and you can't even see one another. That's dark. That is dark. What else was it somebody said? Locusts. We had that one. Remember the lice? The dust became lice. You know, can you imagine that sort of thing? How about the hail that fell from heaven with fire? Smoke tree and herb. And what was left, the residue that was broken by all the hail, the locust came and ate. And then the boils, I think that was one of the ones that we may have missed there. That was upon cattle and people. You know, and then the swarm of the flies. We didn't get the flies there as well. But those are things that his eyes had seen. Now, that goes back to the point Brother Wiseman, you know, was making earlier this morning in our earlier time. You know, they saw those things. I mean, there's some of those things that we've just heard about. You know, but they saw them. They actually saw those things. Now, the scientists looking at those things we're talking about, they didn't actually see those things take place. You know. They don't have faith. They have trouble making the connection there. They can't do it. But these are things that Joshua saw firsthand. Then Sihon being defeated, Og being defeated, wandering around the wilderness for 40 years and your shoes not wearing out, and your clothes not wearing out, and your the food that the manna that fell from heaven, you know, they were fed by, you know, the water that was brought out of the rock, you know, because there was no water to drink. So here Moses is seeking to encourage Joshua. What's he doing also? He's seeking to encourage us. You know, Moses is encouraging us here. Now those are things that they saw that we know about, and that we can see by the eye of faith. You know, we know those things happen by faith. We believe those things happen by faith. You know, and when you think about those things that happened, those plagues that fell, you know, upon Egypt, think about that darkness that Brother Doug talked about. There's 3 days worth of darkness. Guess what? There was light in Goshen. There was light with the children of Israel. But in Egypt, no light. There was darkness. There was darkness there. God will truly, as we sang, take care of you. You're His. You belong unto Him. And haven't your eyes seen that? Haven't you seen some of those things in your own life? Has God not taken care of you? So there's some things you've seen firsthand that I've seen firsthand. And then you get down in verse number 24, and that was the next thing that really struck me as we went, as I was going through this to prepare to bring before you. Moses says, O Lord God, Thou hast begun to show Thy servant Thy greatness. Brethren, God has just begun to show you His greatness. He's just getting started. I mean, you think about all that God has done. You think about the earth itself. Go back to when there was nothing, when it was void. The earth was created. And all that God has done since then, all the way until now in your life, all the things that He's done particularly for you, but all the other things that you've known about that have happened from the foundation of the world, the Lamb slain from before the foundation, all things that you've known, that God's just begun. God's only begun to show you His greatness. God's not finished. You know, God hasn't done just a little bit in your life and He's done. You know, God's just begun to show you His greatness. Turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32. Verse number 17. See, if y'all are like Brother Doug, y'all already be there because he's got an electronic thing. He's just punching in. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Our Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers and the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name, great in counsel, mighty in work. For Thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel and amongst other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror, and has given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and they possessed it. So I mean, you look at that and you're like, wow, that's a lot. I mean, we started back in creation, making heaven and earth, and then going through Egypt and all the way to the promised land where we are here right now. But God's just begun. God's just begun to show you His goodness. He's on your side. He's with you. He's against your enemy. He's for you. And He's against them. And He's just begun to show you His goodness. Do you believe that? That God's just begun to show you His goodness? I mean, even to the point of Moses saying, I want to go in to the promised land. I mean, I've seen all that you've done up to this point, Lord. I want to go and see some more. Well, he was going to see some more, but he wasn't going to see that more. And God had just begun to show his goodness unto Moses, just like he had begun to show it to Joshua and the children of Israel. They would continue on over Jordan. He would die on top of that mountain. But even so, God had just begun to show him his goodness. God's just getting warmed up. When we arrive in heaven, God will just have to begun to show us his goodness in that day. And they'll, you know, I tell the kids sometimes, and I think maybe Teresa gets aggravated at me when I do this, but I tell them, I said, we have one less day to live than we started with. We have one less day to live. It's going to be reverse of that when we get to heaven. There's not going to be one less day. There'll be more and more and more. There's no time. It can't be numbered. And God will have begun to show us his goodness, and it will continue, and it will continue, and it will continue. And you know, our minds can't fathom that. Our minds can't really comprehend that. I can state it in those terms, and you understand what I'm saying, but we can't wrap our minds around that. I mean, to go on and on and on and on and on and on forever and ever and ever and ever and never, ever, ever end. And God will just have begun. I mean, that is the immensity. That is the greatness. I mean, this man here in Jeremiah is seeking to extol the greatness of God. I can't. I can't expound to you the greatness of God. I can't, in an hour's time here, give you the greatness of God in a sermon. I couldn't do that in an eternity of sermons. God is more immense than we can comprehend. God is greater than we know. He's just begun to show us his goodness. Our eyes have just begun to see the glory. Our eyes have just begun to see the greatness of his goodness. That which Joshua had seen, he would see greater things yet. I mean, he would stand one day in the future and fight, and God would cause the sun to stand still for 24 hours for him to continue the battle. He had just begun to see the goodness of God. Not to mention the walls of Jericho we already mentioned earlier this morning falling down. God had just begun. God was just getting started. He just begun to see his goodness. But Moses said, "Let me go over and see." He was praying that God would. He knows that God, Moses knows the goodness of God. Let me go in to see the goodness of the land. He had been told that he wouldn't go in. He knew that that God had already said that to him, but he says, let me go in and see the goodness of the land. I've just begun to see your goodness. He knew. He knew from what he had seen, what he was trying to convey to Joshua and encourage him with. He knew, I've only begun to see the good of what you're going to do for your people. I want to go in, I want to see more. I want to see more of your goodness. I mean, here he is, 120 years old, his strength is still the same. His strength has not abated. He's just as strong. When he got up on top of that mountain, he looked north, south, east, and west. He could see just like he could see when he was, you know, in his 20s. And he still had his eyesight. He still had his strength. Let me go in. There's nothing bodily hindering me from being able to go in with them. You know, they're not going to carry me. You know, I can go in. I can fight with them. You know, I can hold, you know, a sword in my hand. I can still do. Let me go in and see. But God tells him, no. And do not speak to me anymore about this matter. When you think about Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah, Lord, if there be this many, will you spare the city? Sure. If there's that many, I'll spare the city. Lord, be patient with me and endure me yet once more. If there be this many. And he goes on and on and on. And each time, you know, he's asking the Lord, you know, bear with me. You know, if there's this money, will you spare the city? So here Moses is saying, Lord, may I go in? May I accompany your people into the promised land? Where did this stem from? The waters of Meribah, right? What had happened there? The children of Israel complained, there's no water. And they said, have we come out to the desert to die and our stock, our herds die for dehydration, for lack of water? And they're complaining. And God says, Moses, speak to the rock. And water shall come forth from the rock. Well, Moses is so aggravated with the people because of their murmuring and complaining. I mean, he's the leader, you know, out there. And they're all coming to him. Well, he gets aggravated with them and he strikes the rock with the staff. And what God says unto him is in Numbers chapter 20. I can read, you know, that to you, but I won't read the whole thing. I'll just read verse number 12. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and said, because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. And when Moses asks and says, can I go? God says, no, and do not speak to me anymore about this matter. But, you know, here we see the insufficiency of Moses to actually accompany, you know, them into the promised land. But we see the sufficiency of Christ. Christ has made a way for us where there was no way. He's entered into the eternal inheritance on our behalf. And that's where the passage that I wrote down before you there in Hebrews chapter 10 comes in. Verse number 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Moses-Joshua, you know, relationship that is existing there, where Moses is seeking to encourage Joshua. You know, we ought to be encouraging one another, and so much more. I mean, I had a conversation with somebody recently about this. It's not that our forefathers didn't see things in their day that we see in our day, and they say, oh, this is just horrible, and society is just about to crumble. And they thought the end was in their day. The disciples thought the Lord was going to return, you know, in their day. And we look at the things that are going on now, and we say, surely the end is near, and the Lord's going to return. And perhaps so. We don't know. We don't know. But as we see the day approaching, and we have one less day, here we are again, you know, we have one less day today. You know, one less day to eternity. There's one less day before those of us who are in Christ are going to inherit, you know, heaven. If you don't know Christ, there's one less day before you will, if you do not turn and you do not humble yourself and you do not bow down before the God of heaven and receive, you know, salvation through Christ, you have one less day before you enter into hell, and you don't know, none of us know how many days we have. You know. But the wise men may have more time than I do. You know, I don't know. You know, I may have 10 days and don't know it. You know, I may have 30 days and not know it. I may have 30 years. I don't know. We just don't know. The Lord knows. But we ought to encourage and exhort one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. So we see Moses here. He's not able to enter in, but Joshua's going to take his place, and it is comforting to know that God has, he's not limited to Moses. You know, he's appointed another man. When one good man dies, another is ready to take his place. God's never at a loss for a man to do the work that he would have him to do. And his people, they don't lack for someone to lead them or speak to them. I think about our situation, and you know, I wasn't aspiring to preach the gospel. I wasn't sitting out there saying, well, my turn's coming. You know, one day these older guys are going to be gone and be my turn. You know, I wasn't thinking any of those things. Yeah, but the Lord just decided, you know, that's what you're going to do. You know, that was not my aspirations. We had a golf course at the time, and I was working in that golf shop, and I was playing golf every day. And I was thinking, you know what? Maybe I could make, you know, more of a living at this thing than that. I could go and maybe, you know, get my PGA certification and that kind of thing, you know. And that's where my mind kind of was at the time. You know, I was thinking about providing for my family and how best to, you know, do those things. And I had a whole bunch of money in golf clubs and shoes and golf balls and all kinds of stuff. And the Lord called me to preach and all that stuff went away. I can't tell you the last time I played golf. You know, not that there's anything wrong with it. You know, I don't know anybody here that plays necessarily, but if you want to do that, that's okay. You know, not saying anything wrong with golf. But I didn't have time for that. There wasn't a place for that anymore. That needed to be pushed out. You know, I think about what I've heard John Piper say about a pack of bubble gum. He said, "If you give me one, I'll chew the whole thing." He said, "I can't just chew one piece. I'm going to keep chewing it." You know, and so I couldn't let that stay around because that would have occupied too much of my time. You know, so I had to throw the pack of bubble gum away, but. Exhort one another, encourage one another. And in order to do that, you heard what it said there, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. I mean, if you don't assemble together, how are you going to encourage one another? You know, we're called to exhort one another, encourage one another. How are we going to do that if we don't gather together? So we have to gather together in order to do that, assemble together in order to do that. So Moses is passing the command to Joshua, emphasizing God's promise. Telling him, you're going to have the victory. God will fight for you. He will be with you even as He has been. And we know that Joshua, that his name in the Greek is what? Anybody? A little simpler than that. Jesus. So if you were to take Jesus' name in the Hebrew, it would have become Joshua. And so we see Joshua going in and leading God's people and gaining the victory. You know, so we can see... you know, here Joshua in that sort of a pointing towards Christ as a type, you know, of Christ to come. And then I put down there for you, lastly, and you can see at the bottom there was something that I ran across in regards to this passage that we're in. It says, Moses beheld the promised land, yet never reached the place. But Christ shall bring his followers home to see his father's face. Of Canaan's land from Pisgah's top, grant me, my Lord, a view. Through Jordan, or though Jordan should overflow its banks, with thee I'll venture through. So there's something there along the lines of what we've been looking at in these verses. So let's stand as we... go to the Lord here in prayer. I was surprised to see Ryan here this week because he was been in Austin all week and he's told me some of the weird stuff that he's seen there, you know, because they want to keep it weird. It's their slogan in Austin. He's seen some weird things, especially on the transit authorities bus. He saw some weird stuff. He sent me some pictures of it and told me about some of the other stuff, but it was good that he was able to be with us. I know Lydia was really surprised when she walked in to the house yesterday because she expected him not to be there for her birthday, and there he was. I know he probably won't be able to be with us the next couple of weeks, right? Or three? Two or three? Three? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, late class. Well, good that you were able to be here with us. But you've got three more weeks. Yeah, okay. And then it may be more than that after if you go into the other thing. But yeah. So be in prayer for him while he's in the weird place. Not that we aren't in a weird place. There's weird things going on around us all the time, I know. Encourage one another, pray for one another. I try to see all your faces as I'm praying and pray for you. The different things that I know that you have need of. But then just commit you to the Lord and say, Lord, whatever it is that they need, you know, do for them. But encourage one another, pray for one another throughout the week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and return thanks for the meal that we're about to share together. Now, Dad, would you pray for us?